Well, hi again, everyone, and welcome to the latest edition of Schwartz on Sports here at New York Sports Day. I'm Peter Schwartz. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Professional sports starting to trickle back in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic, and there's a lot of NFL news going around. In fact, earlier this morning, word came down that the NFL is going to cancel the Hall of Fame game and also postpone the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies, but there is some growing optimism that there's going to be an NFL season this fall, and maybe even with some fans in the stands. And to talk about it, because he wrote about it this week from the Sports Business Journal, he covers the NFL, Ben Fisher. Ben, Peter Schwartz, how are you?
Hey, Peter, I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for giving us a few minutes. And obviously, you know, sports fans everywhere are just hungry even to just watch sports on television. And there's no bigger sport in the United States than NFL football. And as we speak right now, and from your reporting this week, where would you label the chances that we're going to see NFL football in September?
I'd say that it's very close to 100%. High 90s, for sure, as a percentage likelihood that there will be some sort of NFL football going on. I think other than that, there's an extraordinary amount of unknowns and uncertainties about what the look and feel of the games are going to be like. You know, I still don't think you can totally rule out some sort of brief scheduling adjustment. You know, if they think life gets a lot better for them, if they have a season that runs more like October 1st to March 1st, I think they haven't ruled that out at this point. But I think you'd be pretty sure that the NFL will play in some format.
And I think the biggest thing here is, and listen, there's nobody that wants to see sports on TV and even go to a game more than I do. I mean, this is the longest I've been to without going to a game since probably the 9 months before I was born. But I think we all want it to happen in a very safe way. And the question is going to be, and this goes for any of the other sports too, what happens if you start play and there's a positive test, not just on one team, maybe on multiple teams? From what you've been able to ascertain from the NFL circles, do you think they could continue if there's, you know, a case here and there?
Well, I should start just by saying that the actual health and safety protocols that the NFL is preparing aren't quite done yet. They've been talking to the union. All indications are that those chats with the unions are going well. We don't have any sign of any serious stripe on that front. But it's actually still a work in progress, so I don't know exactly. But, you know, I'm pretty sure that the consensus around the NFL is that, you know, a team can handle a case here and there. Here and there, you know, if you've got a roster of 46 active and 53 plus a practice squad, you know, if there's a handful of guys, you could probably quarantine them and keep business as usual. Obviously, all bets are off if you get into a Clemson situation where you've got, you know, 23 or more guys in a locker room. That becomes, you know, you just can't continue to maintain a football team at that point. So that's sort of the nightmare scenario you've got to avoid there. As long as it's spotty and you can get these guys and get them quarantined, you know, I think the show can go on.
Right.
Anything widespread, and that's why I know some players and coaches have been frustrated by that. How can you possibly run a football team under social distancing? But to the extent you can, you have to try, because the difference between one guy getting it and 15 teammates getting it might be the difference between a forfeit or not, you know?
Well, obviously the difference there is, listen, when you're practicing, and I think when you're just standing around not in a drill, I think that's what they're probably trying to get across to the players and coaches, is that, you know, you don't have to be on top of each other during practice or even in the locker rooms. And I think anything that just takes the players out of any kind of risk for no reason whatsoever, I think, is what the NFL is probably worried about.
Yeah, I think that's the safe way to look at it.
From a business standpoint, and you reported this week, the NFL is talking about putting a tarp on the first 6 to 8 rows, you know, in the stadiums, and using it for potential signage, you know, for local sponsorship needs. And I think that's probably the first real indication from a business standpoint that the NFL not only wants to, you know, play the season, but they're also trying to find ways to maximize, you know, some income, because knowing that even if they do have some fans in the stands, they're going to lose out on some ticket revenue, some suite revenue. So the tarp seems to be a pretty smart idea by the NFL, although I think some European soccer teams have used it too, right?
Right. EPL started up last week, and it looked a lot like what the NFL is describing, according to my sources there, where the lower bowls are empty and covered by tarps with logos on that. It's not exactly the most sophisticated advertising play, but it's logos on camera. It's visible on camera, and you know, unlike hockey with the sideboards or Major League Baseball with logos on the home run fence, you don't see much of that in the NFL. It's basically Gatorade and those Microsoft Surface tablets and Bose and Oakley, and nobody else has a logo anywhere near the field of play. So that's a bit of a revolutionary thing for the NFL to be doing, is talking about selling local sponsorships somewhere where, you know, the general camera is going to pick up as it shows the game.
And along those lines, obviously, and you're preventing, if you have fans in the stands, you're obviously keeping, you know, fans a good distance away from the sidelines. And I'm sure fans who have, you know, tickets in the first few rows are going to be upset about it. But I think what also this kind of lends you to believe is that the NFL still wants to try to have some fans in the stands. And by blocking out the first few rows, they could come up with a system in the various stadiums, you know, to keep the fans spread out and away from the field.
Yeah, that was sort of the secondary aspect to this story. I first became aware of this story because I know so many teams are very worried about all the money they're going to have to give back to the local sponsors who bought those sponsorships, depending on having 70,000-80,000 people in the stands to give, you know, giveaways to, or have them get a free T-shirt in exchange for their email address. Those are sorts of things that people pay top dollar for, assuming that, you know, it's a full stadium. And without a full stadium, they're trying to get some of that money back and give them new ways of generating that value.
Right.
But, you know, technically speaking, this whole thing about vacating the first 6 to 8 rows is a health and safety procedure, which is a bit of a different conversation than the commercial one, because suggests that it would have to be league-wide. So that's an interesting step then, because I think there are probably owners who are still holding out hope that they can sell 100% of their seats under local social distancing rules. But this would seem to suggest that the league, at a league-wide standpoint, you know, doesn't think that's terribly realistic if they're going to be doing that at this point.
We're talking to Ben Fisher. He covers the NFL for Sports Business Journal, and we're talking about the possibility of the NFL playing this fall and how they're going to be able to do this economically. You know, not long ago, the Miami Dolphins introduced a plan, I guess it was early on in this pandemic when people were really, really doubting whether there was going to be an NFL season or not. But the Miami Dolphins came up with this plan, and I'm sure you saw it as well, where they would max their capacity of their stadium to 15,000. Is that a model that some of the other teams around the NFL that they're looking at as far as opening up the gates this fall to fans?
Well, I think the Dolphins thing, while it seemed like a reasonable way to go about it on paper, was there's a little bit of eye rolling around the league on that in private conversations, because they put that out there with really not much understanding of what league policies would be and sort of and where the league and the union would come down on the exact rules they were going to agree to. So it was a good thought process, but I don't think you should assume that that necessarily is going to be a template, just because every stadium is different. The design, the details of the physical space. Mm-hmm. And also, like I said, the league and union still haven't come to a final determination on what exactly they're going to be needing to do to keep the players safe. So, you know, I think that was probably a good sense of what it might look like. You know, maybe about 1/5 the capacity of the stadium.
Right.
Timed entry for fans, so, you know, you're not all crowding the gates at the same time. One way in and out of concession lines, those sorts of things. So it was a useful little thought experiment, but I wouldn't hold too much to that as hard fact.
I think a lot of the pushback from the fans, well, even, you know, from the, you know, the owners too, and the respective teams, you know, as they figure out, you know, how to navigate a way to get some fans in the stands. But I think, you know, the biggest issue that fans are going to have, especially the season ticket holders, are that if you limit the capacity of the stadium, and let's say just for an example, you're a Jets or a Giants fan at MetLife Stadium, and you have a PSL, and you've got, you know, season tickets for all the games and everything, and now if you limit the capacity, you know, how do they determine, you know, which fans go to which games. Because obviously if you're a season ticket holder and you can only put 20 or 25,000 people in the stadium, not everybody is going to get to go to every single game. And that might be what some fans are upset about. Is that something that the teams are preparing for too, the pushback from the fans on this?
You read my mind. I'm actually writing a story for Monday's magazine about that exact topic. And I'll tell you, it is a time bomb for these teams because they, you know, one of them said to me, hey, everyone, all of our season ticket holders have been very understanding of the situation we're in as long as it's been sort of theoretical and that we've been willing to work with them on payment deadlines and all that. But that understanding will go away quickly if any season ticket holder begins to perceive that somebody else in their situation is getting a better deal on this partial season package or whatever it is. They might have to come down and decide how to distribute this limited capacity. And, you know, it depends a lot on the skill of these just individual ticket managers, account managers, and just on the phone with these ticket holders, explaining to them how it works and, you know, trying to keep them engaged without giving them unreasonable expectations about what they're going to get or not get. And then, you know, it's going to end up in court somewhere. And, you know, I'm not saying the team's going to lose in court, but I'm saying there's going to be somebody somewhere who sues because they feel like that they got the short end of the deal in this. And the thing is, you don't have much time to figure it out.
Right, right.
The season starts sooner than you think when it comes to managing a season ticket base that might be 50,000 people, you know, so you're right to identify that as a real concern. Honestly, that was some of the feedback I got on Twitter yesterday when I posted that story.
I saw that, yeah.
Seats.
Yeah.
Because, you know, me in this world every day talking to NFL business people, there has long been a standing expectation that capacity is going to have to be greatly reduced this year. So the idea in that context of tarping over the first eight rows to put signs on them is mostly a value add. It's like, you know what, we're not going to be able to fit everyone in anyway. Let's make some money.
Right.
But to a lot of fans, that was the first time anyone had told them that those seats probably won't be available. So there's a lot of education to go on right now, and it's going to be a tough couple of months for people who manage the season ticket relationships at NFL teams. And those are your most important fans by a long shot, too. So it won't be easy.
Yeah, there's no question about it. You know, a good friend of mine lives in Baltimore, and he's been a Ravens season ticket holder since, you know, the day they moved there from Cleveland, obviously. And and the argument I had with him was that, listen, if he's a season ticket holder, how could someone tell me I can't go to, you know, all of the games? How could somebody do that? And my point to him was, well, it's either you go to two or three games or you don't go to any games. I mean, this is the year that we're living in. And I think there's going to be some season ticket holders that that buy into that. But, you know, there's also been going to be some season ticket holders that aren't even going to be comfortable with going to games this year. I know the Patriots and the Giants have already announced plans that if you don't want to go to games this year, they will hold your season tickets until 2021. So I think the NFL is going to have a bunch of different classifications of fans on how they perceive what's going on.
Yeah, that's true. And I think for the Giants and the Patriots, they're hoping that a pretty material percentage of their season ticket holders take them up on that. Because, you know, if you can get 15,000 people to say, just put me off to 21, that's 15,000 fewer people you have to worry about upsetting on a game-by-game basis. So they're hoping there's a lot of pickup on that. But then again, both those teams have waiting lists. You know, call me when the Jaguars or the Bengals make that offer, because they're less confident that they'll be able to resell that ticket to somebody else in the short term. So, you know, and that's the thing. That's an important point to remember here. Every team has a different position as far as, you know, what they perceive to be the local demand for their tickets and where their cash flow is. So it's really hard to generalize from team to team. But all of them will have this issue of, you know, legal capacity likely being smaller than a season ticket base.
Right, and it sounds like the NFL wants to allow the individual teams to determine what the capacity is going to be. And let's go down that road for a second, too. And we'll focus on here in the New York, New Jersey area, where obviously the Jets and Giants play to basically full stadiums, you know, all the time. And there's this, you know, obviously the sense around the country when you look at the recovery from the pandemic is that New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, some of the other, states in the Northeast have done a much better job than some of the other states around the country in getting the numbers down. So when you look at the possibility of having fans in the stands and the risk reward of putting people in the seats spread out, of course, obviously wearing masks and things like that, it would seem to me that, like the Jets, the Giants, the Patriots, teams in the Northeast would have a better chance of not only having some fans in the stands, but maybe even having a larger percentage than some of the other markets around the country where the numbers are still up.
Yeah, that's true. But on the other hand, some of those states where the numbers have shot up over the last few weeks are still the ones with the most lax political approach to this.
True.
So, there's not necessarily I think things in New York are still more locked down than they are in Dallas or Houston.
Right.
Even though the numbers would suggest they need to get up on the winning team, on the lockdown situation is, or at least wear, more masks. So it's just, and that's the other part of the problem here. All these teams in managing their season ticket bases are going to need to be able to give their fans fairly good information by like end of July at the latest.
Right.
If people got a plan, they got to buy hotel rooms if they're out of town or whatever. But all the political authorities are going to be begging for more time because the whole COVID case counts can change so quickly. And, a governor is going to want to say, let's take this on a week-by-week basis.
Right.
And that's something the teams definitely can't deal with very well, is possibly having different capacities every Sunday. That's a nightmare scenario for teams. So, as you said, the NFL now looks like they're going to allow teams to sort of, whatever they can get away with locally is what their capacity is going to be allowed. There had been some discussion earlier during this pandemic of some sort of league-wide standard to avoid unfairness or, one team getting a bigger home field advantage than the other, but that's not where the wind is blowing right now. So
right.
It could vary a lot, mostly full stadiums in some places and mostly empty in others.
I think for the most part, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo and New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy have been on the same page through this pandemic. But it also seems as if Governor Murphy in New Jersey has been a little bit more, loosey-goosey in terms of getting things opened up. I know he just announced that racetracks are going to be opened up to a limited number of fans. It would seem to me that would help the Jets and Giants have fans in the stands because they're playing in New Jersey. Does that play into this for the Jets and Giants too, the fact that they're in New Jersey and they're under, they're under Governor Murphy's ruling and not Governor Cuomo's?
Yeah, everything is all politics is local, right?
Right.
And Cuomo and Murphy have been on the same page in broad strokes for sure. And, I think that's been one of the nice things to see, in a place
yeah.
where government doesn't work all too often, that they've actually been in concert, because it would be counterproductive if they were undermining each other. But, Murphy and Cuomo might be on different pages in terms of how susceptible they are to pressure from the NFL and the Jets and the Giants. It's not unreasonable to think that a governor in a certain situation, really is strongly politically motivated to let the NFL have a bigger show in MetLife than they otherwise would be. So it's just everything is so personalized and gets down to the details that face any given politician who makes those decisions. It's hard to say, but Jersey and Buffalo could be very different situations for sure.
No question about it. And just to wrap up, I know the NFL's got some meetings scheduled very, very soon to talk about, everything that's going on. From what you hear, where is the NFL standing right now on just about, everything? What do you see as their calendar in determining what's going to go on? And how close to a real season will this season look as opposed to other seasons?
Well, that's right. There are owners' meetings this afternoon. We expect today, sort of for the first time, the league to officially acknowledge that this season won't be status quo. Their line for 3 months now has been we're planning for a regular season with full stadiums and all of that. We'll let you know when there's contingencies that we have to impose. And I think today we're going to start the leading edge of that. We expect that the Hall of Fame game in Canton will officially be canceled. But they're going to take it one at a time. They're not going to make decisions before they absolutely have to. I wouldn't expect any hard rulings on the season itself right now. We might find out the preseason is going to be one game or two games instead of four.
Which it should be, period. Pandemic or no pandemic, there should only be two preseason games.
for sure. I mean, nobody's losing much sleep over those. And if they feel like we can still do a training camp for three weeks and just have one preseason game and still get the season on, well, that's not ideal. There'll definitely be guys who aren't as in shape as they should be, but that's a manageable problem. So we may start to hear some things on that today. That plan to put advertising tarps on the first 6 or 8 rows that's in front of owners today, I was told that was pretty much a done deal, but then I published my story and I started hearing reports of some pushback among some owners. So I guess we'll see where that goes. But if that is approved, then that would be the first hard recognition that the stadiums will be somewhere less than 100% capacity this year, which is probably overdue because nobody in the ticketing world expects them to be at 100% no matter what they've said or not.
Hey, Ben, I can't thank you enough for some time. I think a lot of people are really looking forward to, you know, potentially having the NFL at the very least on television, but it certainly sounds like there's going to be an opportunity for some fans to go to games this fall, and I can't thank you enough. And great work you've been doing with Sports Business Journal covering the NFL, and looking forward to talking to you again down the road.
Thanks. Happy to come on the show anytime.
Thank you, Ben. Ben Fisher from the Sports Business Journal. He covers the NFL. A lot going on, a lot to take in about the possibility of an NFL season this fall and even the possibility of fans being in attendance, at least some fans, in each of the stadiums. I'm Peter Schwartz. Thanks for listening to this edition of Schwartz on Sports here at New York Sports Day, and we'll catch you again next time. Stay safe, everyone.